reference to me. I remember she had one of those old-timey radios. I think it had like a tube or something in it. And a big old knob to turn it. And she would turn it to Cincinnati, Ohio, the Mull Singing Convention. Yeah. And we'd hear the Chuck Wagon Gang and the Spear Family sing songs. So that was our entertainment. And it's amazing how that those memories are etched in your mind nearly almost 60 years ago. But I do appreciate my upbringing. I really do. I've been very, very blessed all of my life to be. Both sides of my family were dedicated Christians. You know, a lot of people are Christians, but they were both sides of my family were dedicated Christians, and they brought me up in church and taught me the Word of God. Even grandparents did, and I thank God for that. Well, it's good that you're here tonight. I mean, if you wasn't here, nobody would be here. So we're glad that you're here. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I know expectations are high. I know everything's a buzz and people are scurrying. How do you like that word, scurrying? You know what scurrying is? It's when you're in a hurry and don't know where you're going. So there's a lot of people scurrying around, I think, kind of headed to the grocery store, headed to this and all of that to get everything done and ready. And then it's amazing how quiet it gets on Christmas Day, you know. That'd be the day to get out and ride around when there's no traffic. But hopefully everybody will be enjoying a wonderful time with their family. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to touch on one scripture tonight. And I didn't think about this, but when years ago, I won't keep you standing. We'll go ahead and read the scripture, and then I'll reminisce with you just a little bit. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Amen. When you get there, say praise the Lord. All right, everybody ain't there yet. So, okay, we're almost there. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to come into house and worship you tonight, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for those who have faithfully come tonight. God, and I pray your blessing and anointing upon each and every family, everyone represented here tonight. Lord, as always, we remember those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those in the hospitals and the nursing homes, and pray a very special prayer of healing and anointing on their behalf. Bless those who are traveling. Keep them safe, Lord, from all harm and danger. And Father, the mass that's unsaved tonight, so many people seemingly are unsaved and unconcerned. And Father, I pray, God, for a Holy Ghost revival. I pray, God, that your Spirit, Lord, will just fall upon people, Lord, to cause them to turn to an altar of repentance. Father, I pray, God, that that revival will start here, Lord, not in this church, but in our lives and in our heart, God, that we'll carry that gospel, that message, lost to a lost and dying world. Ask your blessing tonight, God, anoint these lips of clay, God, to be a vessel and an oracle that the Holy Spirit may use. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. If I had a message title tonight, it would be Just Do It. Just Do It. Before I get into the message or the meat of the message tonight, this particular passage of Scripture, as the Lord laid it upon my heart this week as I've been reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, I really didn't think about it until today when I was opening the Word again and reading what I felt that the Lord had laid upon my heart. And I began to reminisce and think this, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is the first message that I ever preached. I know I've shared with you that on a Sunday night, after about 2 years of running from the calling of the Lord, I came and knelt down I could just about touch right there on the altar rail where I knelt that night. And after the service, the altar call was given, and I was under so much conviction. Not that I was unsaved, not that I was back in backslidden condition. I was doing everything I felt that the Lord had laid upon my heart except preaching the Word of God. And I had given every kind of excuse in the world why I shouldn't and couldn't preach. But that night, I really felt an urge, and I came down and I prayed. And my granddaddy anointed and prayed with me, and several of the elders did. And when I got up, I hugged his neck, and I whispered in his ear, and I told him, Papa. That was affectionately called him Papa. I said, Papa, the Lord has called me to preach. And he said, I knew it. I just wondered when you was going to accept it. And I remember his words. And I, you know, I just told him, well, just really pray for me, because I am just as lost as I can be as far as knowing what to do, what to say. I'm scared to death. He said, it's all right, that, you know, the Lord will work everything out. So, you know, we went back to our pews and sat down, and he dismissed service that night. And after he had prayed and dismissed, he said, everybody, make it a point to be here Wednesday night. Brother Eddie's going to be preaching his first sermon. I was sitting about four rows back, Sister Linda, right over there, and I was waving at Papa, saying, no. And I went to him. I made a beeline to him right after the service, and I told him, Papa, no. I am not ready. It's going to take me months, if not a year, to get ready. And he said, nah, you'll do fine. That's just the way Papa said, you'll be good. Just get it. And so, and that's what I preached. I preached one of the shortest messages you've heard in your life. I stretched that thing out for, I know, 5 minutes, and then I had to sit down. But that was my text. But the Lord laid this on my heart this week. And, you know, first of all, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer here makes a lot of observances. In fact, if there ever was a biblical people watcher, it would have been the author of the Ecclesiastes. Most notably, probably Solomon wrote, I think most people are in agreement that he wrote most of the book of Ecclesiastes. And whoever it was had noticed some things. And it was very astute at writing these things down, which he had observed. And he began to think that, observe that people had a lot of energy, and people had a lot of zeal, and a lot of goals, and a lot of aims. And basically, if you tie all of those things up together and bundle them together, it would probably be called intentions today. Intentions. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about they never intended to get into this shape, or they never intended for things to get out of hand. Have you ever heard that statement or made that statement when you were, your purpose or your goal or the thing that you had an aim for, and it didn't turn out that way, and that was not your intentions? And I know many, as we come to the end of another year and the beginning of a brand new year, I know that there'll be a lot of people that again will make resolutions, and they will begin to set goals and set aims and purposes for their life. And a lot of people are dedicated and will see those through, but there's a great number of people that will, for whatever reason, will lose that aim, will lose that zeal or that energy somewhere along during those intentions, and those intentions become a part of yesteryear, a part of things that there's not that zeal or that energy to see those things through anymore. And we understand that. But here I believe that the Word of God uses this not so much to set goals for our personal goals for ourselves. And a lot of people do those, and those are fine. Nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself or do more in this area of your life and all. But I really believe here that the Word of God uses this to let us know that, you know, we need to be about God's business. This came about, I guess, Sunday when I mentioned that we have got to keep the story alive. Now, you know, just the little story that I shared about Granny, you know, Susan, we got to keep that alive, you know, because if we don't tell it, then there's generations that'll grow up that never knew Granny, and you know, they're just descendants and relatives, but we are the ones that's got to keep that story alive, and the story of your parents and the story of things, and you know, I can relate today that things that Mom and Dad have told me when I was growing up, and they didn't tell me that just one time. You know, if you hear something one time, chances are you're not going to repeat it a whole lot. But if you hear something, Brother Jim, over and over and over, I know you have told me about your dad and the time that you spent with him growing up, and certain things that he liked to do, like listen to the Atlanta Braves play ball, and certain things like, was it cantaloupes that he liked to eat, and take a spoon and eat them. And you know, those, you keep those stories alive, and you know, you just kind of share them, and you talked about sharing them with your sons, and then you were sharing me that even Stephen and some of them were sharing them with their children. And those children, you know, they wasn't there to see that. They wasn't there to be a part of that. But they know that because we've kept the story alive. And we've got to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ alive. Amen. As I said Sunday, we can't depend on the government to do that. We can't depend on our school system to do that. It's up to us. Those of us who have been born again, those of us who have read in the Word of God, that we can come to an altar of repentance, that we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we can ask Jesus Christ to be both Lord and Savior of our life. And we need to pass this on. And that's what I believe the Word of God here is referring to. You know, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do is what he says. But I kind of believe that that can mean in the kingdom of God, in the work of God. And the way I remember bringing it in my first message, I began to talk about, you know, everybody is not a singer. I remember saying that. And I said, everybody's not going to be a preacher. And I summed it up in saying, but everybody can be a part of the body of Christ. And you know, it may not be a speaking part. It may not be a part where you're in the limelight, so to speak. But whatsoever, that's the key word there. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. And I don't think the word findeth there means chance upon. You know, I think that the Lord has a calling. I've also said that there's a word there, not here in the scripture, but when we talk about intentions, the intention is the thing one has for his purpose or his aim. How many believes they have a purpose in life? You know, Satan would like to tell you you don't. Satan would like to tell you you don't matter. And especially you don't matter in the family of God. Satan would like to tell you, you know, God doesn't care anything about your personal needs or your personal desires. But the Bible tells us that he does. He understands our needs and he understands our desires. And he even tells us he will give us the desires of our heart. He even tells us that if we have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, we can even move mountains. So Satan's just kind of shooting you a line when he tells you that God doesn't care and God's not concerned about your life, when in fact, he really, really is. But the intention is the purpose that each and every one of us have. So basically, as we're talking about there, whatsoever thy purpose is, first you got to find the purpose. Amen. You know, a lot of people are, you know, I remember somebody saying this, a lot of people are not God called, they're people called. You know, I did not become a preacher because my granddaddy said I was going to be a preacher. Okay, I didn't become a preacher because mom or dad said, we want you to be a preacher. I didn't become a preacher because that was my goal or that's the thing that I wanted to do. I never aspired to be a preacher. I thought that I would grow up and go through my whole adult life just playing the guitar and singing and kind of helping out with the young folks until I got too old and do something else. Never in my wildest dreams did I think or even realize that God had a calling for me for the spreading of the gospel or the word of the Lord. But when I found out and when I finally succumbed to the calling of God, then I realized what my purpose was. And then when you realize what your purpose is, then the next step is to do it. Here the Bible says, with thy might. Amen. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, whatsoever that purpose is, that God has laid upon your heart. Now, you know, it's all right to desire these good works. It's all right to desire these different positions. But understand that you need to be where God wants you to be. You need to be the vessel. You need to be the oracle that God has molded and shaped and made for you. It may be a one who gives a great witness. It may be one who carries the gospel to a number of places. It could be someone that sings in the choir. Whatever it is, there's no little or bigger degrees in the kingdom of God. Whatever it is that our hand findeth to do, whatever it is that God has laid upon our heart, that begins to be our purpose. And then we take that purpose and we don't measure it against somebody else's calling or somebody else's talent or somebody else's purpose, but we put it in our heart and we do it with our might. We do it with all the zeal, the fervor, and the energy that we can possibly muster to do that. You know, this particular scripture would do well to put in the places where where there's a number of people working. Amen. How many has ever been in a part of a supervisory role? You know, the main thing about a supervisory role is to get your people on board, to get them focused. I remember at the Rockmart Church, we used to choose sides, you know, and young people service. We used to have our young people service 1 hour before regular service on Sunday night. And most of the time it was the red and blue side. And you know, you'd really, really work for a quarter or whatever, and then the winning side would get a reward or something, you know. And I remember one time that the way we kept up with the score and all, we had a wire running across the back of the church, and there was a red little thing over here and a red thing there. And what it was a wheel, and there was a drawing, and there were people pushing that wheel. And there was a red wheel and a blue wheel, and it was measured off in degrees. So every time you got points or whatever in young people's service, you might move it up 2 or 3 degrees or whatever. And then when you got to they'd have a goal in the middle, and that was the one. But I always remembered, you know, thinking about those wheels, it depicted a group effort, not just one person. And whoever designed that really, really did good, because if they just put one person up there, it would seem like one person was doing all the load. Let me tell you something. One person can't do it in First Pentecostal Church. One person can't do it in any church. Amen. It takes a group effort. And the more the people get together and the more the people are in one mind and one accord, it doesn't matter if it's 10 or 10,000. If you're in one mind and one accord. In fact, I'll make a statement. I'd rather have 10 who are focused and have their purpose and their single heart or their single mind on the Lord than have 100 people, and it's mass confusion when you're trying to get something done in the house of the Lord or in the field of the Lord. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Because here's the thing. Then he says, you know what? You're going to wake up one of these days and you're going to be too old to do it. You're going to have all of these intentions. You intended to do this. You purposed in your heart, and you said, I'm going to do this. And that reminds me of several things that I've heard during my pastorship. I've heard people say, Pastor, when I get my life straightened out, I'm going to come get to be in your church, or I'm going to find the Lord. And, you know, and I really try to smile compassionately to them and kind of let them know it's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to get your life straightened out. And I'm not being offensive when I say that, because I said the same thing. I was never able to straighten my life out. It took coming to the Lord for Him to straighten my life out. And you know what? It doesn't matter how messed up your life is. If you're waiting for you yourself to straighten everything out and then come to the Lord, you know, you're going to be on what for a long, long way. But if you bring your burden to the Lord, if you bring all of your cares, all of your problems, all of your issues, and you say, Lord, it's too big for me. I made a mess out of my life, Lord, that nobody can straighten this out but you. And I want to lay this burden down, Lord, because from now on, from this day forward, whatsoever my hand findeth to do, I want to do it with all my might for you. I'm tired of living for me. I'm tired of trying to give it everything that I want. I want to live for you and be the vessel, amen, that you would get the honor and glory for. Because then it says, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Probably each and every one of us, if we take just a few minutes, can think of someone, maybe someone we know, someone we've read about, some popular person, some celebrity, some official who worked so very hard, made so many sacrifices, sometimes even sacrificing their family life, even sacrificing the desires that they wanted to do or to even have joy in life, and worked so hard or strive so hard to gain so much only to die and leave it. Probably so. If you don't know anybody personally, you probably know of several celebrities. And then what good has it done you then to leave it for somebody else? And that's what the writer here is saying. You know, if you're going to do it, do it now. Do it now. You know, well, I'm going to fast more. Well, then do it now. I'm going to get into the Bible more. And I'm going to, you know, because if you've got, listen, here's the thing about it. And I found this out to be so true with anything you do. There is never a convenient time to do it. It just doesn't happen. You're going to have to make time to do it. And I'm going to share a statement with you that my dad always said, and I know I've told you that time and time again, because Daddy made this very profound statement. Daddy was a country gentleman, and some of the things that he said I'll always remember, and they were so profound. You know, it wasn't a long philosophical thing. He just said, son, a body's going to do about what a body wants to. And that is so very true. You're going to make time. If it's important to you, if you really desire to do that, you're going to make time for that. So the desire has to be there. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do. That doesn't mean you just happen on something and try to do it. It means you have a purpose and you have a goal and you have an aim. If you aim to get closer to the Lord this year, you'll do it. If you really purpose in your heart that you're going to read the Bible through in its entirety, you'll do it. It's not convenient. It's not something, amen, that you're just going to have to every once in a while pick up and do it. But it's a goal, and it's something you got to set down and say, this is it. I'm going to purpose in my heart. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to increase my prayer life this year. I'm going to step out on faith more this year. All of those are wonderful sayings. And whatever it is, it doesn't have to be the things that I've mentioned. It could be anything. I'm going to witness to one more person this year than I did last year. That's a goal. That's a purpose. But if you just say it here and you don't really put your hands on it, so whatever your hand findeth to do, then do it with thy might. Meaning what? Do it with energy. Do it with purpose. Set a goal. Set that, you know, intentions. What is the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I didn't make that up, but I've heard that. I've heard people saying that. Think about that. How disturbing that is. I intended to get my life right. I intended to get in church. I intended to ask the Lord to be my Savior. But you know what? We don't even have the promise of tomorrow. In fact, the very breath that we breathe is on loan to us. It could be snatched away from us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, just do it. Just do it. I'll share with you this, and this is one of my favorite all-time stories. It comes from the Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith, if you don't know me, is one of my heroes. I thought that Andy Griffith was just, I can watch those things over and over and over and over again and never tire of it. Well, it seems like that there was this really, really businessman who was just, everything was on a schedule or something, and he's driving through town and his car tire tears up and he's going to have to get it fixed and Gomer's going to fix it for him, but it's on the weekend. They can't get the part until the first of the week, so this guy's all antsy and he's just got, so anyway, Andy invites him home after church, and to eat with Aunt B's cooking on a Sunday dinner. So they've eaten, and this guy's answering. He's walking up and down on the porch, and he's got to go and got to do this, and he finds out that the part's not going to be there. And anyway, Andy's sitting there, and Barney's sitting there, and, you know, they're just casually spending a Sunday evening, you know, totally relaxed, not a care in this world. And, you know, Barney, he's relaxed back there, and he said, well, thank God. I don't forget what all he says I'm doing. He's going to go and get some ice cream, and he's going to take it over to Thelma Lou's house, and they're going to sit there and eat some ice cream and then watch a movie. And he still sits there. And the guy looks at him like, well, you know, do it. So Barney says, yep, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy some ice cream, and I'm going to take it to Thelma Lou's, and we're going to eat some ice cream, and then we're going to watch a movie. So after about the third time, the guy says, well, just do it. Don't just sit there, just do it. And Barney jumps up, you know. But this guy's, his whole life is based on getting things done, getting it done. You know, there's no time to delay and all. But in Mayberry, that's not the case. You know, you're just going to, kind of got plenty of time to do it. And I found that out, too, when we went to Texas to hunt. You know, there's a word out there that they use. It's out in Quanah, Texas. It's on the western part of Texas, out by the Red River, out by the Red River Valley, just on the little peninsula of Oklahoma. And there's a word out there that they use, and I'm not sure what the definition is, but I think it means to move in slow motion. Because they will say, well, I'm going to mosey on over and get the tractor. Or I'm going to mosey on over and go put some water out for the cattle. And they're still talking. It's been 30 minutes, you know, and they're still talking, you know, but they're still going to mosey on over. And I thought about all those things. And then I thought about all the things that we promised God that we're going to do. Kind of like the Barney on the front porch. Kind of like the rancher in Quanah, Texas. You know, I'm going to mosey on over. But the writer here says, whatsoever you can find to do, just do it. And do it with your might. Because you're not going to be able to take a work or device or knowledge or wisdom to the grave whither thou goest. And except for the rapture, that's exactly what our destiny is. We'll be in the grave. And we'll be at a point where all those intentions that we wanted to do, we won't be in any physical condition or mental condition to be able to do those things. How sad that would be to sit and think of all the opportunities that you missed. All the opportunities to witness for Christ. To tell that little waitress at the cafe about the Lord. You know, the one that the Lord lays upon your heart and says, you need to tell her about the Lord. Or the cashier. And I'm not talking about specifics here. I'm talking about in general. Because I believe every one of us probably have had that urge every once in a while to just kind of share the gospel of Christ to somebody, or just witness to them, or just tell them. Sometimes it's just a simple, you know, God loves you. I don't know what you're going through today, but just felt like telling you that God's love you. But if that's in your mind and you never do that, how sad that would be if you found out that something happened to that little lady or something happened to that cashier and you didn't get that opportunity to share with them, or whatever it is, whatsoever your hand find it to do. And again, I believe the whatsoever there is very, very important. Because I don't believe God puts certain emphasis on big jobs in the church, okay? Or big jobs in the body of Christ. Because I believe, personally, that everything that we do for God is big. It doesn't matter. If it's teaching, if it's witnessing, if it's singing in the choir, if it's making music, if it's sweeping the floor, whatever it is, if it's doing something for the honor and for the glory of God, then we're not doing it to receive honor, we're doing it to give honor to the Lord. So if you do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your heart. Amen? Whatsoever. Remember that. Whatsoever your hand find it to do. And the second thing is, just do it. Just do it. You know, I often said, you know, I can intend to get that grass cut all day long until I crank that mower. Then I get that mower out and I actually kind of put it into motion. So that's what we have to do, you know. And we do have intentions and we do have purposes and we do have goals. God bless you. Thank you for coming out on this rainy evening. May God bless you and keep you and have a wonderful, wonderful the balance of the week. Remember this weekend on Sunday morning, we will be having Sunday morning Sunday school and worship service. We will not be having Sunday night service. My wife is waving at me. She's got something. Absolutely. And also, Sister Bonnie was sick. And in case you didn't know, Sister Diane has had, was it surgery on her leg? A torn, yeah. We took the basket by. She's doing good. She's doing so good. She's thinking about having an MRI done on the other leg and get it done. So keep those ladies in our prayer. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah. We'll certainly be praying for them. And pray for those who are traveling. There'll be a lot of folks who'll be traveling this weekend. So pray God will keep them. Any other prayer request? All right. Brother Jim, would you come tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer? And let's incorporate these prayer requests into our closing prayer tonight.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Always want to worship Him and lift Him up. Thank Him for the word tonight. Let's all stand and we'll prepare to dismiss us. All hearts and minds clear. You know this altar's open if anyone needs prayer tonight. And as we do pray, just remember those spoken prayer requests that we just got the information on, because God can. Amen. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Lord, for allowing us to hear your word, Lord, for not only hearing it, but, Lord, may it just set deep in our spirit. Lord, may you just continue to refresh our mind and our memory as we go forth. May we be active, dear Lord. May we just do it. And Lord, be about your business in everything that we do, whether it be at home, on the job, or out and about. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings. Dear Lord, for those spoken prayer requests that just came through. Lord, we know that you can heal eyesight, dear Lord, heal the back, dear Lord, with knees and the testimonies of how much better we're doing, dear Lord. And for those that are sick and shut in and aren't able to be with us, Lord, we ask you to continue to bless them. Let them feel your presence. Dear Lord, may someone or something, your spirit, Lord, guide them and let them know that they're not alone. And dear Lord, as we prepare to dismiss again, as it was mentioned earlier, Lord, be with those that are traveling, all these families that are having gatherings. And dear Lord, I want to lift up those that are alone this holiday season to let them know they're not alone. Lord, with you, dear Lord, they are comforted. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. Be with all the ministries that go forth, our Overcomers Outreach, as this time of year I know is a struggle for so many that have addictions. Dear Lord, may you just cure each and every one of them. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God.
As you're walking out,
this
happens a lot when you get older. I just remembered that last verse. Now I'm grown and married with a family of my own. Darling wife and two kids make up my happy home. One important thing I'd like to share with them, you see, are those precious Bible stories that Granny told me. Praise God.
There you go. Praise the Lord.
It was either I remember it now or 12 o'clock at night when I'm asleep.
And you're going to have to call all of us and say, here it is. What is your email?
Alan Charles, I think. Now, I'll have to get my phone.
Send me an email.
Okay.
You still got mine. Because I still have you at the I sent something out. It came
I
back.
It in my phone. Somebody, I never use it, but.
Well, I don't know if I need to send it, but just in case.
Okay.
I was sending something out. It came back because you didn't work your flowers anymore.
Oh, wow. Praise God.
Yes, sir. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Another prayer request. Yeah. I didn't ask you. But, next week and probably shoot for like March. Give them back. Oh, 60 days. Yes, sir. You almost don't have to find a job to get out of there. Barry mentioned to me the other day that he likes to make a great chance.
That might be your best. You're going to have to talk to them and then you don't have a chance.
Well, this might be a lot. That's what I don't want to stop hanging. This non-hearing. I'm the good one, though.
Oh, it,
is, you know, help the hurt. Praise the Lord. You got my Bible?
You heard? I
hadn't
heard before.
Yeah, I do.
It,
it's that first 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Getting over
there. Oh,
once you get there,
that's like anything else. Once you get up there, man. It always leaves in the mood.
Yeah. I said, it's like you get a boost of energy and everything. You know, it makes the day go
better. I know you and I, tired, it still makes our day, but when I was working, it really makes it.
Oh, yeah, because you were
there. And I know it helps Adam, too.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of things, you know, stress and all that. And then he's always talking about that. That's such a time where he's kind of relaxing.
Let me ask you something. You know, I've heard you talk about this so many times, and I was talking to you about it. I'm trying to really focus in and get into more of my own evolution. And I told you, I thought about having him come over and see if he's, play for my husband. I know you're on it and everything. Because it's got to where it's being more and more to me. And I'm working on that. And I'm working on a painting of this girl. She was in a live nativity scene this week. And he asked my picture to carry the exact care of the ring. And she was dressed as Mary, the most beautiful thing in the painting. And I sit there yesterday and today, and it's so strange. I'll do something on this. And I roll back from it, and I look at it. You know how you play something sometimes and it's just like, how's it do? Where'd it come from? And it's got to where it's more and more like that, you know? I told her, yeah,
that's the way I work with it.
Right. That's a good comparison.
Right. Sometimes I sit down and cry about it. I'm going to write a song.
Yeah.
I go over there and go over there. I just couldn't meet it. I was good. But then there's other times I really do that.
Yeah.
And God bless them. I should go over there.
She died.